Good morning, and welcome to the first in a series of public meetings to review the studies being conducted for the Clean Energy and Pollution Reduction Act, Senate Bill 350. My name is Christina Osborne with the Stakeholder Process Group here at the ISO. I'll help facilitate today's meeting. Just to let you know that we are recording the meeting today, and we will make that recording available on our website on the Regional Energy Markets webpage. That's also where you'll find the materials that will be presented. They're also located on that webpage. That's under the Stay Informed tab. So we will, after each presentation, we're going to take, we'll allow 10 minutes for questions, some clarifying questions. Also keep in mind at the very end of the meeting, we do have an hour set aside for more in-depth questions. If you have a question directly for me, you're welcome to send me a chat if you're on the web or in the room. You're welcome to walk up and talk to me. Also, you can send an email to kosborne, that's K-O-S-B-O-R-N-E, at caiso.com. So at this time, I'll go ahead and turn the meeting over to our Vice President of Market and Infrastructure Development at the ISO, Keith Casey. He's going to introduce our speakers.
Thank you, Christina. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the ISO. We're delighted to have all of you here for our kickoff meeting on the SB 350 study work. I had just a few remarks before I present the study team and we get into the presentations. We've got a lot of material to cover today, so it's going to be a busy day. But I thought before we got into the details of the study framework, it'd probably be good to just provide a reminder or an overview of what this is all about. So let me start with SB 350, otherwise known as the Clean Air and Pollution Reduction Act of 2015. This, of course, is the landmark legislation that California adopted last fall with very aggressive clean energy goals for 2030 and beyond. And the main elements of that of that act are a doubling of energy efficiency by 2030, and a RPS target for 2030 of 50%. So very, very ambitious, really cutting-edge clean energy goals. But importantly, and why we're here today, the act also included a statement that it's the intent of the legislature to provide for the evolution of the California ISO into a regional organization, provided there's a determination that such a transformation is in the best interest of California. And then the act went in to lay out a process for how the legislature will make that determination. And it starts with directing the ISO to undertake a study to assess the benefits of the ISO becoming a regional organization. And the act goes into what the scope of that study will need to cover. We'll get into that in some detail, but suffice it to say it's a very extensive scope of things we need to look at to assess the impact. And then the process laid out in the Act is once that analysis is completed, that the California Public Utilities Commission, the California Energy Commission, and the State Air Resources Board will jointly hold one or more public workshops to review both the analysis and a proposal for a regional governance model of the ISO. So there will be a parallel track here in addition to doing these analytics where we'll be looking at how would the governance model of the ISO need to change to enable it to become a regional organization. So we'll have those workshops. And then the next step in the process is to deliver to the governor the study results along with the governance proposal. And then the final step in the process is for the governor to submit both the study and governance proposal to the California legislature for them to consider and deliberate on the proposition of the ISO becoming a regional organization. So we're really here today to kick off the public process around the study work, where we're really going to present to you an overview of our study framework, our methodology. We'll introduce the study team to you. And really, this is the first opportunity for you to really give your input on have we framed the study adequately? Are the some of the key assumptions, approaches we're taking adequate, or would you like to see changes? So we look forward to getting your input today through the Q&A, but we're also providing an opportunity for you to provide written comments as well. So we really look forward to getting your input. And I want to say we understand the importance of this study work. This is a very important policy question for California. And we take very serious the study work we've been passing. We will endeavor to provide a very open, transparent, inclusive process. And at the end of the day, the analytics we provide have to be sound, and they have to be credible. And we really need your help along the way to ensure that outcome. The other thing I wanted to mention is, as we go through the study process, there are a number of significant policy issues that have not been resolved, but we'll need to make certain assumptions around for purposes of testing the impact of a regional market. And I'll give you a couple examples of that. The composition of the portfolios the state will develop to meet the 33% target remains to be seen, but for purposes of this study, we're going to have to come up with some plausible scenarios to test the benefit proposition of a regional market. Another good example is the Clean Power Plan and the Westwide approach to GHG compliance and carbon pricing. We're not trying to solve those policy questions in this analysis, but we'll have to make certain assumptions around that to test the benefits of a regional market. So I mentioned that because I know those policy questions are things many of you care deeply about, and we certainly want to get your input on, are we reasonably capturing it for purposes of this study? But I just ask that you bear in mind we're not trying to solve those questions. So the real question you have to ask when you examine those aspects of the study, is it good enough for assessing the benefits of a regional market? Not that we're trying to solve it. So I think those were my key comments, and let me introduce to you our study team. We have an excellent team we've assembled for this. So hopefully you can see everybody here. I want to start with the Brattle Group. The Brattle Group has been tasked with leading this study effort, and Hannes Pfeifenberger and Judy Chang are both principals at the Brattle Group. They'll be providing the overall direction, coordination of the study work. And then in a support role, in addition to me at the ISO, we have Mark Rockleader, my fellow executive here at the ISO. Mark is Vice President of Market Quality and Renewable Integration. Debbie Levine is a director here at the ISO. I know many of you know her. Debbie will be a project manager for the ISO on this study effort. And then, of course, Christina Osborne will be facilitating our stakeholder engagement as we go along. And then let me go to Energy and Environmental Economics, E3. We have Arnie Olson. He's a partner at E3. He'll be very engaged in examining the renewable integration aspects of this study work. And then Anna Maleva is a senior consultant for E3, and she'll be assisting on this as well. And then for the Aspen Environmental Group, we have Susan Lee. She's a vice president at Aspen in the San Francisco office. And then Booster Birdsall is a senior associate at Aspen Environmental as well. He'll be working on this project. So obviously looking at the environmental impacts piece of this. On the economic labor impacts, we've engaged Berkeley Economic Advising and Research, Bear Consulting. David Rowling Post is managing director and principal for Bear, and Sam Evans is a principal for Bear Consulting as well. So again, we've got a great team. We've done a lot of work just in terms of understanding each other's role and establishing the study framework and how we're going to coordinate. And we look forward to sharing that with you today and getting your input. The agenda, Christina touched on it. There's a lot of material to cover. And I guess I would just reiterate her request that As we go through each presentation, if you could keep your comments to the end of the presentation, we've allocated time for each presenter to have a Q&A session. And we've also allocated an hour at the end of the day for a more broader discussion. So we're hoping in the Q&A during the presentation or at the end of the presentation be primarily clarifying questions. We can get into a little of the substance, but we may have to defer some of the more extensive discussions to the end of the day. And of course, if you have prepared comments, we will use that hour at the end of the day for those prepared comments. So I think that's all I have. If there's no questions for me, I will turn it over to Judy to kick off the presentation.
Great. Thank you very much, Keith. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for participating in our first stakeholder process for the SB 350 study. I'm Judy Chang. I'm a principal of the Brattle Group. Thomas and I are both in our Cambridge office, so it's great to get out of the 6 inches of, or six probably feet of snow by end of today and get into some great weather here. If you don't have a printout of the agenda, I just want to briefly talk to you about how the agenda will go today so that it gives you a context of how we're going to proceed and the different pieces of the presentation and discussion throughout the day. Hannes and I will first kick off by describing the framework, the analytical approach, almost like an introductory of the process we're going to go through. And then followed by that, Arnie and other E3 colleagues here will describe the renewable integration analyses, the framework and analytical approach, and the key assumptions in that analysis. And then followed by that, Hannes and I come back and talk about the ratepayer impact. And then we'll have an hour of lunch, and then in the afternoon we start by David talk about the economic impact and employment impact, and then we take a break, and then Aston will be speaking about the environmental impact and disadvantaged community analyses. And then at 3:30, we'll have a stakeholder comment. We allocated an hour to have a more in-depth discussion. So just to give you a sense of the direction we're going for the day. Again, we have a little bit of a roadmap for how the day is going to work, so I'm going to kick off the framework, and so this next 30 minutes or so, I'm just going to describe how we are going to conduct the analyses, who is going to provide input to what, and how we're taking the entire study approach. To start, this is the legislative language. So the legislation says that the intent of the legislature is to provide for the transformation of the ISO to be a regional organization. But that transformation would only occur if it is in the interest of ratepayers of California. So the legislation also identifies six areas. One is overall benefits to California ratepayers, creation and retention of jobs and benefits to California economy, environmental impact to California and elsewhere, impact on disadvantaged communities in California, and emissions of greenhouse gas and other air pollutants, and then the sixth one, reliability and integration of renewable energy. So we have taken the language and legislation and of course have to interpret how and what the legislature intended to analyze, and so what you're going to hear about today is our interpretation of that and how we plan to study and provide an analytical approach and conclusion to these questions. So our intent here, of course, is to gather your input as we start this process. We have spent quite a bit of time working already with the CAISO staff and CAISO leadership, as well as all the consultants you hear that are here today. So what we're putting forward today is really a framework and approach and some very key assumptions, and we want to gather your input on that. Here is the process of completing the study. You'll see probably a few flowcharts today. This is one of them. We're in the process. Late last year, we started reviewing existing studies to understand how other regions have looked at regionalizing this system operations and planning function of an ISO. We started discussing what kind of scenarios to analyze with all the CAISO staff as well as the consultants you see here. And then we developed jointly an analytical approach, which is what you're going to see today as part of our planning process. Today we're presenting also to you not only the process of the analytical approach, but also the assumptions, the key assumptions. And this is where we're at the juncture where we really want your feedback about what you think our approach we're presenting here and some of the key assumptions. Following this, we are going to start the analytical effort. Of course, we've already been doing some of the background work. We're going to continue and refine the analyses and hopefully taking your input and taking some of the suggestions that you're providing us. And then we're aiming for April to prepare and document the results and present it back to you as, in some ways, a draft set of results in April. The dates are still to be determined. I think Debbie will talk about that later in the day. And then with aiming end of April or early June to provide final report to the agency. We're in a very compressed time frame, as you can imagine, but at the same time, we're confident that we will do our best in this time frame to provide a very informed analysis to the legislature. Here's another way to think about this. Because we are working in a team effort and there are pieces of the analyses that have quite a bit of interaction with each other, as you heard Keith talk about, he's introduced all of us, but this is how we have, in some ways, broken up the work, right? So California, the ISO and Brattle are putting together the analytical framework with all the other consultants. We're overseeing the entire study. We're also conducting the ratepayer benefits that we're going to talk about in a little bit. E3 has continued its work with California entities and others to look at the renewable integration analyses and to take a deeper dive of that analysis in the context of this SB3 study. And then because we're also asked to look at the environmental impact and employment and economic impact, Aspen is taking a deeper dive, taking a lot of the inputs and output assumptions from the other analyses that E3 and Brattle are going to do and take a deeper dive and looking at the environmental and emissions impact for California and elsewhere on the environmental impact and then and focusing on disadvantaged communities analysis for California. And then separately, of course, the employment economic impact, we take this extremely seriously. So we take the work that's done by E3 and Brattle, and you'll hear much more about this for the rest of the day, and that feeds into the employment and economic impact that they will be taking on. Here's, I want to go through, there are a lot of words on this slide, but I want to go through this one at a time to just give you a sense of the pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, or pieces of the analyses that we are taking on. The first one is the overall benefit to ratepayers. As you can see, it's organized in a way to respond directly to the legislation. The overall benefit to ratepayers, the way we think about this is that there are operational cost impacts and there are capital or investment cost impacts. And for the operational cost impact, we're conducting a production cost simulation to analyze the production cost, the net purchase cost to California, and the production cost potential savings and shift in cost across WEC. Similarly, for the capital cost meaning capital investments in new generation and potentially capital costs in new transmission, those we will be conducting through the renewable integration study that you will be hearing next when Arnie comes up and talks about that. And then resource adequacy in the context of how resources can be more efficiently used across WEC when you think about regional market as opposed to the status quo. And resource procurement, which I'm sure we're going to get into a little bit deeper later today to talk about what renewable procurement might look like in a California ISO standalone case and a regional market case. So the metric we're going to measure are the net fixed and capital costs. Ultimately, both the operational cost changes and the investment changes, or capital cost changes, will feed into the ratepayer impact analysis. Ultimately, we're trying to measure what the impact on ratepayers would be to regionalize a CAISO function. The second category of impact is jobs and economic impact. This is talking about comparing the impact of employment of developing certain projects in California versus developing projects outside of California, as well as the economic impact of the ratepayer that we just talked about. So if there is a reduction or increase in cost to ratepayers, how does that flow into the economy as far as employment and economics are concerned? So that's the second category. The third one is environmental impact. You'll see that we have in the legislation actually broken out the greenhouse gas emissions and other air pollutants separately from environmental impact. So for the purpose of this slide, we're just going to separate it out to be consistent. The environmental impact, here the metrics are, of course, impact on environmental resources in sensitive areas, but specifically, we're going to talk about land use. We're going to analyze the impact on land use, visual resources, biological ecology, and water supply. And here again, I think these are the areas where we are looking for input. The fourth category is impact on disadvantaged communities. This is a call out directly from the legislation. Here I think we're going to look at both the environmental impact as well as the economic impact on identified disadvantaged communities in California. And then the fifth one, greenhouse gases and air pollutants. You'll see in the next slide that there is a lot of feedback and input from the different analyses, but ultimately here we're looking at where the greenhouse gas emissions are occurring in both cases, in the standalone California ISO as a standalone versus a regional California ISO system, or an ISO, regional ISO system. So the air quality and carbon intensity are our metrics, and the changes in emissions both in particularly focusing in California, but also will be measured for rest of WEC. And the last one, reliability and integration of renewable resources. You're going to hear about that next. Ultimately, we're looking at the integration of renewable resources both from a California, inside California versus a WEC-wide resource capability, and describing also some improvement in the system system monitoring and ability for integrating diverse resources from a regional perspective. Here's our workflow. We tried to simplify it, but ultimately I think the key takeaway from this slide is that there are some key assumptions that we are going to talk about today. We're going to take the baseline assumptions that's in the WEC-wide PEPSI database in our production cost simulation. We're going to hear much more about that a little bit later this morning. We're going to take the renewable portfolio analysis that E3 is going to come up and talk about, and that's also going to feed into the production cost simulation. We're going to separately conduct analysis about load diversity. This means capturing the value of the differences in the changes of the load patterns across WEC, and that is going to feed into other analyses. And then also very importantly is that we're reviewing all the other relevant market studies both in the West as well as from the Eastern United States and also Europe, and I'll have a slide on that briefly. All of these input assumptions will go into our production cost analyses as well as what you're going to hear next, which is the renewable integration analysis. And then the ultimate impact analysis will go back to what the six categories that we just talked about, the ratepayer, the job impact, the job and economic impact, the environmental, the impact on disadvantaged communities, and reliability and other system impact. We are looking at other studies, so we don't want to be doing this particular analysis in a vacuum. We have worked substantially in other parts of the U.S. There are many markets that have transitioned over time from very individualized balancing areas into an imbalanced market, and then expanding to a day, what we call a day two market, where you have a day ahead market and a real-time market. We've looked at, we are continuing to look at, but we have been analyzing other studies that have already been conducted on these topics, so that when we come to our, there are two reasons why we're doing this. One is that how we organize our analytical approach, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We want to take the best approaches that's available out there. And second, when we have results, we want to make sure those results are reasonable in the context of the analysis we're conducting and also comparing to other analyses that are already out there. Just very briefly, we are looking at the Southwest Power Pool that has gone from a separate balancing area into a EIM type of organized imbalance market, although there are substantial differences that we're going to talk about later this morning. And then they did a prospective analysis back in 2009 when they're expanding into a day two market, as well as a retrospective analysis that they conducted last year looking back as they transitioned from an imbalance market to a day two market. Again, their imbalance market is a little bit different from what the West is talking about, but I think it's interesting and relevant in comparing how we're conducting our analyses. And of course, back in the early 2000s, the next categories are other RTO participation analyses. As you probably have watched, the eastern parts of the U.S. have many utilities making decisions about which RTO to participate, and as the RTOs expanded their footprint, they also have done several analyses, and we're reviewing some of those. And of course, the PAC CalISO integration study that just came out last year. There's also the WAPA Basin, the Western and Basin joining Southwest Southwest Power Pool analyses, and the Entergy MISO when the Mid-Continent ISO expanded its footprint to the southern part of the United States. There are other previous studies back in post-order 2000. We kind of dug up some of those from the early 2000s and looked at what those analyses have done. More recently, all of the EIM studies, and many of those E3 has been participating and conducting. And then we are also looking at the European market integration study. As you know, many of the countries in Europe have experienced similar policy objectives such as significant renewables. So in that context, they have also expanded their grid operations, and we are analyzing those analyses. And then, of course, the WEC renewable integration studies. There are several of them. And we are taking those into consideration and understanding their approaches, their methodologies, and their assumptions so that we're not reinventing the wheel, so that we can take the best of the studies out there as far as methodologies and assumptions and understanding the differences across the studies so that we can make our results most relevant to the stakeholders. That's what we have prepared. I think we have a few minutes to just answer any kind of clarifying questions on this before we go to E3's presentation. Yes, sir.
Can you
identify yourself just for
Mike Jaffe, Energy Commission staff. Can you identify the scope of the regional market you will be assessing?
Yes. Scope as in geographic scope, yes? Yes. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but ultimately we have a what we call a status quo case where it's California standalone, and then the footprint, the geographic footprint of the regional market is a west-wide regional market. We can talk a lot more about the details of those assumptions, but that's our
Judy, if I could just clarify, we will be excluding, of course, the non-U.S. portion of the WEC, so
yes.
Baja
Thank
California
you.
And the Canadian provinces.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, two quick, Doug Davey with Wellhead, two quick clarifications. As it relates to operational costs and studies, are you going to be looking, you mentioned real-time market, are you going to be looking at trying to do real-time, like five-minute market modeling to really pick up operational issues?
We are going to talk a lot about that in the second presentation that Brado has prepared. But the short answer is we're really focusing on the day to sort of day ahead market. So we're really quantifying a regional day to market. Hold on to that question, we will have a diagram that explains how we're thinking about this question. Is
and
that okay?
Second question is, as it relates to ratepayer impacts, production cost simulation does a great job in terms of the cost, but to what extent are you going to talk about market design and the implications that has on shifting money between generators and ratepayers because of market clearing price impacts?
That is a good question. We are going to look at it from a societal perspective, so we are not particularly focused on the shifts between generators to ratepayers or vice versa, but I think to the extent that the prices differ, we will be discussing that, but it's not a study about the shift. We are looking at it from a societal perspective. Yes.
Good morning. Carl Zakella from NRDC. Question, it refers both to environmental and ratepayer impacts. When we talk about load diversity and the benefits of the market in terms of dispatching the diversity, how are you going to look at sort of the implications of utilization of the existing grid? One of the major benefits right now seems to be getting rid of this really balkanized contract construct to move more towards the market platform that leads to getting better use out of the existing wires and network. There's a footprint issue there in terms of land use and not building unnecessary transmission. It helps to justify needed transmission better, and it also gives you much better utilization.
I want to just separate your questions a little bit.
Sure.
I think we are going to look at better use of existing grid.
Yeah.
That is part of our charge to look at how a regional market could better use the existing grid. What we're not going to get into is the market. We're not planning to currently get into market design questions such that if it's a California, how do we procure resources? Should that change from long-term contracts to some market-based? We are not looking at different designs of, let's say, procurement or capacity.
That wasn't what I was after. What I was after is just how we can use the existing system more efficiently in dispatching the system, get rid of some of the contract-based congestion where utilization of the system is seems to be congested when, in fact, it's not. That's
we are going to look at that, yes.
Big issue in the Western grid, and it's a big benefit, it seems to me.
Yes. If you could hold on to that question at the end of the session, if you feel like we haven't addressed that, let's bring that back onto the table. But I think we are going to, at least our current plan is to address that. I saw some other hands. Okay. Yes, Antonio.
Hi, Judy. Antonio Alvarez, PG&E. I have two questions. One, you mentioned reliability. Is there any part of the analysis that is going to look at the relative reliability of the different areas, California areas in the rest of the WEC? And the second question I had is, what's the process by which the impacts are going to be allocated between California and the different areas?
Those are very good questions. Currently, we are going to look at reliability from a regional perspective and comment about the reliability, the impact on reliability from a regional market, both for California and elsewhere. That's our intent. Your question about allocation of benefits, I think, is something that we are still discussing, and I think your input would be very much welcome in how we do that. But certainly, when we look at production costs, implications, as well as renewable integration implications. Those are potentially west-wide benefits or west-wide impacts, and we will need to allocate that, we're still in discussion about exactly mathematically how we do that. I think we have a concept of how to do that, but I think if you have specific suggestions, we'd be welcoming that. Yes.
Just a quick follow-up. When we talk about allocations, we're talking about California impact versus rest of WEC. This study won't analyze how Utah is impacted versus Wyoming or Arizona. It's really, the focus is impacts to California and impacts to WEC as a whole footprint.
Yeah, that's a very important clarification. The study is California focused. To the extent, there are two things. So to the extent that the legislation asks that the study to be analyzing outside of California, such as environmental impact, we will be answering that question. But we are not using the study to say precisely where those shifts of impact will occur, whether it is in Oregon or Wyoming or New Mexico or Nevada. We're not going to get to that level of granularity. There are many reasons, but that's our current intent, so that the study is really quite California-focused, except for the areas where the legislation asks us to look at a west-wide or outside of California impact.
Judy, if I could just elaborate on Antonio's question about reliability. You know, that's something we're still trying to sort out how we're going to examine that. It's a difficult thing to quantify. Clearly, going to a regional market means you're consolidating balancing area functions. We have right now across the WEC, I think, 38 different balancing areas. So if you're essentially for the U.S. portion of the grid operating as a single balancing area, you're mitigating seams issues, better situational awareness of what's happening on the entire system. So we can certainly speak to that qualitatively, but if you have any thoughts on how we might be able to dig into that a little better, we'd really welcome that.
Yes.
Thank you. Mark Joseph on behalf of the Coalition of California Utility Employees. I want to ask you about the scenarios. Now, you said you're going to analyze a California-only scenario and a regionalized scenario. Preliminarily, first question is the regional scenario going to assume that product category one would be eligible everywhere within the WEC?
If you don't mind to hold that question for the next presentation, because we are actually going to have spent an hour on the portfolio design on renewable. Would that be all right?
Sure.
Okay. We want to make sure we address your question. Yes.
I was curious about the...
Identifying yourself for the people on the phone.
I was curious about the granularity within California. So there's five balancing authorities within California. Are you going to divide it within California or?
We are still looking at the granularity question, depending on which aspect of the analysis you're talking about. If you're referring to the environmental impact, the production cost is the production cost. I mean, the production cost analysis is unit specific. However, we're going to talk about this in the next presentation, but the production cost simulation in some ways uses assumptions that may not be very specific to every unit. So we will have the data from a production cost simulation perspective, but how that feeds into the environmental impact analysis and employment analysis, the granularity, we think will elevate that to a zonal analysis inside California and possibly larger zonal analysis for the environmental impact outside of California. Okay.
Judy, before we move on, I would like to provide the folks on the phone and the web with an opportunity to ask questions. If you want to, you can enter the queue by pressing #2 on your telephone keypad. And just as everybody knows, we have about 275 people on the web.
You'll tell me, right?
Okay, Lauren, I see that we have a hand raised. So go ahead and open up the phone line. Just a reminder to please state your name and affiliation first.
Hello, this is Patrick at the CPUC. Can you hear me?
Barely, Patrick. Can you speak up a little?
Hello, this is Patrick at the CPUC. Just a quick process question. I don't know if anyone else is having trouble accessing the web interface, but I can't. So if presenters could announce the slide number they're speaking to, that would be helpful. That's all.
Okay. I think we're taking that into... Okay. Another question? No other questions on the web.
We do have one more question.
Is there somebody speaking up from the phone or the web?
Lauren, we did have one more question.
Okay. Please, go ahead.
Hi, this is Ezra Houseman, working with Sierra Club. I'm just curious how you plan to take into account the SB 1368 performance standard and the California versus out-of-state renewable portfolio standard constraints in this study. Is that something you'll be covering in that presentation later?
So if you could hold on, the next presentation is about renewable portfolio. Hopefully we'll address that. At this point, I'd like to pass the baton to you, Arne. Great. Here's the things you want the